Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. There's Ryan Finley, sports editor of the Union Tribune. I am in Peoria, Arizona. Padres' first off day of the spring. Tomorrow will mark 2 weeks out from opening day. Ryan, where would you like to start?
I'd like to start by, I think we should start with the news. In the news business, Kevin, there's always a good place to start. You had a note, two notes today in today's Union Tribune. One was about Joe Musgrove and his return and how, you know, maybe it's hit a little bit of a hiccup as he comes back. And then sort of a related but unrelated note about Walker Buehler. And so I think we should start talking about starting pitching. We're almost 2 weeks out, right? What does the Musgrove news mean for the Padres? And, you know, what's the early returns been on Walker Buehler?
All right. Yeah. And then we'll throw Germán Márquez in there and it'll be like this. We'll probably spend a good portion of time talking about this. Joe Musgrove. This was, yes, Joe actually used the word setback, but generally we think a setback like out of the blue, right? Well, this was not insignificant that Joe Musgrove, he started on March 4th. That was, a week ago against Great Britain. That was his first time pitching in a stadium, coming back from Tommy John surgery, coming off the mound, you know, feeling good. Shapes were good. Velocity was good. He felt good. He thought he'd pitch again in 5 or 6 days. Always, multiple times. Also saying, but you don't know. We don't know how this is going to go. It's not a straight line all the time. As a matter of fact, it's most often not a straight line. We become too accustomed to guys coming back from Tommy John, and those are the guys we remember that like hit the ground and boom, oh, now a Cy Young season. So this was also my point being, not entirely unexpected that Joe Musgrove would then take a little time before his next start. He got in the bullpen on Sunday. We are taping this on Wednesday. And, you know, it wasn't terrible, but it just didn't feel right. His arm was cranky, was the word of Craig Stammen. Joe, when I asked him, walked up to him in the clubhouse, how you feel? Feel like I had surgery. And so that's where Joe Musgrove is at. Will he be pitching that first turn through the rotation? There's some pessimism about it. Now, is that a huge deal? Well, it's not ideal. You don't like uncertainty. It also shouldn't be terribly unexpected. And also, he could get back out on the mound, throw a bullpen Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, get on the mound Tuesday, get a couple starts in, and he could be in the rotation that first time through. They also have an off day after the third game, an off day after the sixth game. Like, it gives some time that he could be, by the time they're on that first road trip, in the rotation. The point is, Ryan, we just don't know how this is going to go.
And I think people get a little too hung up on the opening day roster. I love opening day. It's amazing. Does it matter? I mean, does it matter? It may matter to Joe Musgrove. I get that totally. But does it really matter if he's there at the end of March or the second week of April, let's say?
I'll include, even though I really do try to keep it in perspective and I do write about it and talk about it from time to time. But the fact is, I'll include myself in people putting too much on opening day, because that's what we spend 6 weeks thinking about and pointing to and who's going to be on the opening day roster. But Ryan, you are spot on. We know that it's going to take the fewest starting pitchers the Padres have ever used. That was 2024, 8. Last year, 14 guys made at least one start. 10 guys made at least 5 starts. You're hoping, and we talked about this before, it looked like Joe was trending toward being on the opening day roster, but we talked about him getting extra rest in the last podcast that, and then I wrote about it after his first start that, you know, we don't know where this is going to go. So I'm not just making this up now. If Joe gets 25 starts this year, that means he was decent. That means he was pitching pretty well and got some innings in, and the Padres will be thrilled with that. Joe having 25 starts, 140, 160 innings, and in his first year back from Tommy John surgery.
Mm-hmm. Kevin, guess who was on the 2025 Padres opening day roster? Just for a little perspective here.
Well, I know that Manny Machado was. No, sorry.
Omar Cruz, Yuli Gurriel, Jose Iglesias, Jason Hayward, Brandon Lockridge. Okay. 2024, Tom Cosgrove, Eniel De Los Santos, Johnny Brito. Let's see. Jose Azokar, Graham Pauly, Eggy Rosario. Right. Not to say that it doesn't matter, but who's on the roster on opening day isn't as important as who's healthy throughout the season and who's going to be a contributor. And just if Joe Musgrove isn't ready to go when they take on the Tigers on opening day, that doesn't necessarily mean that he's punting on 2026. It might just mean that his season's going to start a little bit later than everybody else's.
Right, or that he's not going to be good any more than had he been on the roster and he started out by throwing six shutout innings, that there weren't going to be hiccups throughout. Ruben Niebla yesterday said, you know, this might not be the last time we do this. And that wasn't a surprise either. They've talked about this a lot, and we have talked about it. And so, you know, look, in no way am I trying to say this is ideal or it wasn't kind of like a moment to take a pause, especially in light of the fact that Nick Pivetta took some time down. Their purported ace took some time down. He's supposed to throw a bullpen tomorrow. That would be Thursday and start on Saturday and be in line to probably make that opening day start. So all's good, but you just don't ever like to hear about these sort of setbacks, no matter how mild they are. With your starting pitching, especially when starting pitching is the big question on this team.
Yep. Who does this benefit? If Joe Musgrove can't make the opening day roster, who does, Kevin?
Germán Márquez or Walker Buehler. Now, one of them probably, based on anyone you talk to or anything you've seen with your own eyes, would suggest that it's one of those two. Plus, you know that there are guys with major league experience. You know that helps because we're talking about a number five starter looking for a guy to find a way to keep you in games, right? And give you five innings. And I'm not saying that's all you want from him, but that's really kind of, if you had to go break down the definition of a number five starter, that's what you want. And that's what veteran guys know how to do. That's how they become veterans. So those guys just had a leg up at the start. And then Germán Márquez, really good curveball last time. Velocity ticked up a little bit. They like what they're seeing. I don't want to overstate it, but they do like what they're seeing. Maybe expectations were a little bit low by some people in the organization. Though if you look at the contract he got, it suggested he was going to be on the roster. Not a lot of money necessarily, but not a little money to the Padres, who are pretty strapped at this point. So Walker Buehler has been the best of the five guys who are competing. And he can opt out on 5 days before the season, March 21st. Don't think that's going to be a thing. He'll be told that he'll be on the roster. I believe that. I haven't been specifically told that. But Walker Buehler is the guy that people were going to be both pounding the table for. And some others were going to say, well, I don't know. But, you know, that's how it is. Goes in that room. But I think if Joe's not going, I think it's going to be pretty straightforward. Tristan McKenzie probably needs a little bit of time to find a strike zone in the minors. J.P. Sears has options, has not, like, reached up and grabbed the job. Matt Waldron, who was out after having a procedure, is going to get back on the, he's back on the mound. He's going to get back in games here at the end. He probably going to start on the injured list. Every single time we do this, I forget Marco Gonzalez. Marco Gonzalez, he just hasn't reached up and grabbed it. Maybe another team's going to take a flyer on him. He's shown he can pitch, but just don't see that he's reached up and said, hey, I'm better than these other guys. Now, there is time for two more starts for each of these guys.
Yep. But again, this is what happens when you take flyers. When you take a handful of flyers every spring, you're lucky if one or two out of the five, and we just named five guys. You're lucky.
I think I named six because I threw Matt Waldron in there. He deserves that. But yes. It's been a five-man basically competition.
Yeah, but if you can go one for five or two for six, like that batting average. That's pretty, not to mix my position metaphors here. But, you know, if they get Walker Buehler and Germán Márquez out of this, both are on the opening day roster, Maybe they're the 4 and the 5 to start the season, something like that. If Musgrove can't go, that's pretty darn good from guys who are just sort of taking a chance on them, you know?
Right. And then you need to see what they do. If you feel good about them and not just like, well, they're the best we have out of, you know, because sometimes that's what you have to do. Remember most of Padres history. you could be really myopic and go, dang, yeah, that guy looked really good. Turns out he wasn't. And you kind of knew that. But yes, now we just spent a lot of time talking about opening day and its significance in the scheme of 6 months and 161 games that come after that. So both of those guys probably don't finish the season on the roster.
Right. No, that's a good point. And at some point, you're going to have to make a decision about Matt Waldron, who's out of options, right? I mean, at some point, you have to decide whether or not he's a part of your team. Mm-hmm. At some point, you're going to have to decide if you're okay starting 5 right-handed starting pitchers, right? Because this is still a really right-handed bunch. J.P. Sears is left-handed. Marco Gonzalez is left-handed. But like you said, both of those guys appear to be on the outside looking in with 2 weeks left in camp.
Yeah, it's a great point. And you just don't say, well, these guys are going to make it because they're left-handed. And it just, if it were close, if it were, you know, and look, J.P. Sears has pitched progressively better as this has gone on, as has Marco Gonzalez. Marco Gonzalez is one of those veteran guys. There's two starts left. But as of right now, what people are talking about is, you know, really hands down, Walker Buehler and Germán Márquez.
Yeah. Let's talk about Walker Buehler just real quick. He had some really interesting comments to you the other day. You know, he wishes. What did he say? It's like getting dumped by a girl, right? And then years
like
later,
that girl. Yeah.
You still wish you had her a little bit years later, even though you're a grown man and have kids with somebody else, right?
Well, he didn't say that, but yes. Yeah. You're extrapolating, but that's not unfair of you to do, I guess. Yeah, sure.
But it's like he used to throw 98, and he can't throw 98 anymore. And there's a part of him that just wishes he could rear back and throw 98 again. But it looks as if he's getting guys out using his quote-unquote secondary stuff, which is a sign of his maturity and probably the only way he's going to stick in the big leagues, given the fact that he's had Tommy John twice and doesn't throw 98 anymore, right?
Yes. I mean, yes, it was somewhat vexing to the Padres, not only that last year he, especially first pitch, but that he was still about 25% fastball. And then he was doing it a lot early in spring too. And yesterday was a manifestation of things they've been working on, potentially a manifestation of him trusting Ruben Niebla more. So it was really interesting. I thought, oh, 1 inning. Oh, 2 innings. Oh, 3. 3 2/3 innings, very consistently pitching, you know, backward, pitching like the opposite of what he did, pitching like with pitches that were not in those counts. Now, I know it's spring training, but also pitching using his changeup to right-handers, that's something he's virtually never done. As a matter of fact, he did it more yesterday than he did it 5 times yesterday. He did it 6 times all of 2025 regular season. Guy threw 120 innings. This is a Ruben Niebla specialty. I think this pitch and the direction it goes or where we can make it go, if we move the hand this or whatever it is, that will play based on your other stuff. That is a Ruben Niebla specialty right there. And so they've been working on some grips. Way Walker Buehler has put it a couple times, and I love it, is Ruben is showing him what his hands can do. I mean, Walker Buehler throws 7 pitches. Like, that, this guy can be a pitcher. I think it's really exciting. Also, I want to say, my wife has never seen the Hot Level podcast. She could care less. But, like, I can't relate to looking back and thinking about another girl. I just can't relate. But I can say that if I threw 98, I would want to still throw 98 because that must be freaking awesome.
Absolutely. How about this, Kevin? What if you could dunk when you were 20 years old? If you could dunk a basketball, wouldn't you sit back? And again, like I do this all the time, but I hate myself for it, mixing our sports metaphors. It's like if you could dunk at age 20 and now you're 40, learning how to maybe hit a jump shot, learning how to play old man basketball, right? It's a little bit like that. Acknowledging that you're no longer the guy you were when you were 20 takes some real maturity, and putting in the work to be a pitcher and not a thrower, I think that that is a sign of some maturity, you know, even maybe after a little initial pushback from him.
Yeah, I mean, look, he is who he is largely. I think people know that Walker Buehler is like, you know, the proverbial bulldog, right? Like, he is that guy. And that, you know, what I always will explain to people, if they point out maybe a characteristic that maybe is painted as a flaw in one of these guys, I say, you know, most of the time you take that away and they're not the player that they are. Right. So like, I get it. And the Padres get it, who Walker Buehler is, but to have some buy-in is going to help him make this team. And it looks like that's the case. Now, I will say, like, Walker Buehler probably going to get a job somewhere, and he has the ability, whereas like Marco Gonzalez can opt out of his contract at the end of spring training if another major league team's going to put him on the roster.
Right.
Walker Buehler can leave no matter what. And now, certainly he would have another job lined up if he left. But, you know, he has that ability based on being what they call a 20B free agent. He's got 6 years of service time. And Walker Buehler has shown enough. He's going to pitch somewhere. And I think that's why he took the contract. There were teams that were willing to give Walker Buehler a major league contract, but it didn't have the upside of this contract. And Walker Buehler, because he's Walker Buehler, said, I'm going to go on there. I'm going to earn a job. And if I don't earn a job there, I'll earn a job somewhere, because people always need pitchers. And, you know, I might suck now, but I don't, like, I made 25 starts last year. I'm still a good pitcher. So, like, you know, that is Walker Buehler. And I happen to, that's one of the things I love about sports, is what makes these guys what they are.
Yep. And pitchers, you know, they talk about conviction a lot, right? They have to believe that they can throw pitches for strikes. They have to believe that they can get guys out.
Very good point.
And if they can't, I mean, Walker Buehler may have sort of mentally known, yeah, I'm going to have to pitch backwards to get guys out in the big leagues. Now it seems like he's believing that he can, which I think is a big, big change.
Based on what was cool is, okay, look, it's spring training. Let's not get carried away and all that. But yes, based on the fact that he faced, and I get it was the Angels, but you don't get to face an A lineup very often and line up one of the guys who's competing to make a team where he's going to have to get through. I mean, there were 9 major leaguers in that lineup. I think 6 of them will be in the opening day lineup for the Angels. Like, he had to get through some guys. One of the guys who got him was a guy who used to be his teammate. He ambushed a fastball first pitch. One of the 2 first pitch fastballs, I believe, Walker Buehler threw. And that was Chris Taylor, who now plays for the Angels, if you lost track. And so, yes, great sign that he did that. Now we see what's his next one. I've seen this, and anyone who's followed baseball has seen this. We get all excited about a spring training start, and I was super excited. I thought that was just a really well-pitched 3 2/3 innings. But what's the next one, man? And the next one after that. And he's in a spot where basically gonna earn his spot on this roster every single time he pitches.
Yep. Here's a question that's going to sound an awful lot like my Joe Musgrove question, but it's about Sungmin Song. He is dealing with maybe not a recurrence, but something might be similar to the injury he suffered during the ramp up to the start of the season. There's a real chance that he's not on the opening day roster. Who does this benefit if Sungmin Song doesn't make the club?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think we can call it an aggravation, because he felt something in his final at bat on Sunday. So after he had a home run in his second at bat, he struck out in his third one. And in that final at bat, he felt something similar to what he felt in January when he kept swinging and he suffered an oblique strain, a right oblique strain. It was in the same spot. So he said, I better stop. Well, maybe that's a great thing, right? And he's swinging the bat as early as tomorrow, Thursday. And he's back in, Monday or Tuesday, and he gets a nice 3 games, and the Padres decide he's ready. Those are ifs. So who does it benefit? Probably one of the corner infielders, Ty France or Jose Miranda. They've been hitting. They've played in the major leagues, had success in the major leagues. The Padres don't necessarily need, like, say, a Bryce Johnson, who would provide coverage, middle infield backup. But isn't the hitter, has been actually thrown out three of the four times he's stolen or tried to steal. And defense and running would be why Mason McCoy would be on the team. But Bryce Johnson, he's on my mind because I think it's his job to lose in the outfield. I write about him and Jace Bowen and all these guys tomorrow for this bench to address this question. But yeah, I really do think that if Sung Mun Song, who, by the way, can start in the minors too. Now, he was on his way to being on this roster. The intention is that he's going to be on this roster sooner than later. But he could also start on the IL, and that would benefit likely Jose Miranda, who is hitting, as Craig Stammen has pointed out, like he hit back when he was with the Twins. That would be this one year he had a really good year. And Ty France has come in, and man, did not see a place for him on this roster, but that's just the beauty of it. Like he's stepped up, and Ty France will probably have a job somewhere if it's not. He's like Walker Buehler. He can opt out on the 21st. And so he'll have a job somewhere because he has hit the ball extremely well.
Yep. And every at bat with him is a professional at bat. And I know that that's a little bit of a baseball cliche, but he has a plan every time he comes up.
Yep. And for a guy who doesn't walk, I mean, because usually you're like, oh, there's a guy with, well, he also has been hit 126 times. Which is hit by pitch per plate appearance, one of the highest in the history of the game. He's the Mariners record holder. When Jake Cronenworth, who's the Padres all-time franchise record holder, I think with like 65 or something like that. And he and France are buddies, and they were talking about it the other day, and France like, 65. I'd do that in 2 years. Yeah. He does. You're right. Somehow, Ty France, who doesn't walk all that much, is a really pro at bat.
Yep. It disappointing to see with Song, too, because it sounded as if he was catching up to the super velocity, that he was catching up faster maybe than even they thought he would in terms of, you know, he was hitting the ball well.
Yeah. There were signs that was happening. Absolutely. Like that signs that like there hadn't been with Ha-Sung Kim, who ended up being one heck of a player for the Padres. I got to say, like, as I really discount spring training, and I think it's just safer to do that. It's dangerous to get too excited. Mm-hmm. Sung Mun Song light years ahead of Ha-Sung Kim. 2026 Sung Mun Song way ahead of 2021 Ha-Sung Kim. Now, Sung Mun Song served in the military, wasn't very good, and is 29 years old, coming off two good years in the KBO. 3 years ago, Sung Mun Song had no MLB future. Ha-Sung Kim was, what, 23 when he came over? And, you know, there was just a big learning curve. But the fact is, if you're wondering how Sung Mun Song might do this year compared to a little bit of a struggle for Ha-Sung early on, maybe Sung Mun Song will be better.
Yep. And he's kind of jacked too, right?
He is.
I mean, he's a bigger dude, especially coming out of the KBO. You don't see a lot of that, especially among a guy or from a guy who might play a little shortstop, you know?
Yeah. I mean, Ha-Sung was pretty jacked, but not like this. Yeah.
It's interesting. Kevin, I always put you on the spot at the end of our podcast here. Today is no different. How much are you watching the World Baseball Classic, and what do you make of Fernando Tatis so far?
I see more highlights than sitting down at the end of a day of watching and talking baseball and watching pool play, though I'll get into it now. We're going to get into the knockout round, and I'll watch tonight to see if Mexico scores more than five runs or whatever these convoluted, which I guess is the only way to do it when you're doing, you got to have something to tie break. But if the USA makes it, I'd like to see that. Fernando Tatis Jr., but like you asked about this because I want to talk about Fernando and the energy. And I want to say, first of all, before I talk about how important it is, it would be ridiculous to expect any of these guys to have the same energy over 162 games in the regular season that they're having playing for their country in a 2-week tournament. You know, like it's just not the same. Look, we don't bring the same. I mean, the media is on the edge of their seat and their home country's media. The fans bring it. I mean, the WBC is crazy. So we can't expect that. But what you're seeing out of Fernando Tatis Jr. is the Padres would really like to see more of that. And that was and is a focus. It was a focus in the offseason and talking to him, to focus in spring training, building Fernando up, getting him to really know that his energy is important, getting him to know that he is a great player. Like, Fernando talks a good game, and Fernando does believe he's a great player, and it works against him sometimes. They'll be writing about that shortly. So to see him succeed now, that kid he hit the grand slam on from Israel was in college 2 years ago and played in single A last year. But to see him succeed and to see the passion and the energy and that it's there for Fernando Tatis Jr., it excites the Padres, and it should excite Padres fans.
Yep. That is the person I think Padre fans think of when they think of Fernando Tatis, is especially his first couple years in the league. The celebration, the exuberance he played the game with. I mean, I think we've seen a little bit of a maybe more sullen Fernando Tatis the last couple of years.
At times, for sure.
At times, yeah. And we've talked about this on this podcast for going on. This will be our third year now. You know, they want him to lead the way there. They want him to bring that joy and that passion every day. And I know that that's hard to do and it's a long season, but I think that they're better when he is playing that way.
Right. And it gets where he's that guy. He wants to be that guy. It's impossible to do all year. Now, you can do it for 60 games in 2020. You can do it when you are 20 years old and you have a shorter 2019 as a rookie because things are going great and it's shorter because you got injured. But a full season gets rough, and then it gets rough when you get down on yourself. It just does, right? And then it's not authentic, and teammates have a huge BS meter for their manager, their coaches, other teammates, the media, the players. Just they do. They got a BS meter, and you know that is authentic, Toddy, and he can be that guy, and it has been a focus for the Padres. And so, like I said, like, I just don't think I don't. It's like this funny thing where I'm saying, don't read too much into this WBC because it's the WBC, right? Mm-hmm. But read into it that this is the guy. This is the guy that can take the Padres to the promised land. This is the guy who can be, as he believes he is, the best player in the major leagues.
Right. And how old is he, Kevin?
27. So he's square in the prime of being a baseball player. So
we've been talking about this guy for a decade, and he's 27.
Yeah, it's hard. Yeah. It's hard to believe, but then it's not it is. It's funny. Sometimes you look at a player and you go, "What? You've been here that long?" Like, yeah, Tatis feels like he's just been a part of the Padres for almost ever. And in a way, like, for a lot of Padres fans, I think, and I don't mean this to call them bandwagon, this team didn't earn anybody's affection, but the Padres kind of began, in a way, when Tatis arrived, or shortly after that, him, give Hosmer some due, at least the idea of Hosmer, Manny, 2020, this would be big if Tatis can be back to that guy, because I think that guy also has a 9-something OPS.
Yep, yep, yep. Fernando Tatis, Manny Machado, and Ty France, they all wore blue as Padres.
So did Adrian Morahone. Let's not forget that.
Morahone too. You're right. That's right. That'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.